getting started. What for Thursday?
Who's here that we need to know about? Everybody that's in.
All right. Let's start with the approval of the minutes. You guys all read the minutes?
Yep.
Any motions for approving the minutes?
I make a motion to approve the minutes.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. I say aye also. Okay. Officer elections.
First, just Travis and Mike Davis are out sick, and Jason and Derek messaged me that they are not able to make it tonight. And then everyone else is accounted for. And I wanted to give, we'll go into officer elections. Your term has ended, and so has Alan's. And we do have a, which I just looked it up, elected by a majority of the appointed members.
Good.
And so we do have 5 out of 8 here. However y'all want to have that process happen, it's up to you. There's not an outline in the bylaws. So I think in the past people either nominated themselves or nominated somebody else on the commission to represent the chair or co-chair, and then a vote was had on that. Or a discussion,
yep,
sort of thing.
Does anybody want to do it?
I do.
You want to?
Oh, yeah. I love this stuff.
You want to be the chair?
I can be the chair and the co-chair. I can do both. I don't really care.
Okay.
You should be the chair. I nominate you as chair.
You want me to be the chair?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. So nomination for Steve, chair.
I second that. We need a second.
We're all second because you nominated.
What did you say about Alan not being here tonight?
Yeah, so Alan is not here. He does have interest in being the chair or the co-chair again. So he's been chair for, I don't know how many years now.
Yeah, quite a while.
Yeah, but he is on half the year, and he knows that. So
he's gone half the year.
Yeah.
But he's like
a snowbird.
So he's in Arizona right
now? Yeah.
Poor guy.
Yeah, so usually Stephen steps in as chair when Alan's gone. So he says, he's interested in having either position.
And the code or the vice chair, as it's listed here, just serves as chair when the chair is not around.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
So it's nice to have a vice chair in this.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you really shouldn't be both.
No.
I can't do both.
That would defeat that purpose.
I can do either one.
Yeah.
Whatever you want, I can do.
Well, you're chair now, so there's no
chair. Okay, fine.
Does anybody want to be vice chair then?
Rich,
you want
to be vice chair?
I'll pass.
I'll pass.
Well, is there any, it's hard to say something when Alan's not, when the chair isn't here and he wants to continue to be, we're going to give him the boot while he's gone, kind of thing.
Yeah.
I spoke with Will, we chatted, he's interested in being vice chair if that's what, he's not like, I want to be a chair again, he wants to do whatever is in the best interest of the commission, is what he knows he's gone half a year, but he's interested in being vice chair.
Are you interested in being
I'm a short timer, but it seems like from what I'm seeing is there's really not a lot of additional responsibilities that come with vice chair and co-chair. So
it's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
We could also, hold the vice, or whatever you want. I'm not going to interject here.
Yes.
Sorry. I just always throw out ideas.
What do you want to do?
So.
I'm fine with doing it, or we can have Alan be the vice chair. I really am fine with either way.
You're here. You're new.
New blood.
You need experience.
Okay. I'll take the vice chair role.
Good.
Yeah. I think that's what
sign him up.
Okay.
Chair and vice chair. Do we have to vote?
We could do Alan past chair or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Co-vice chair.
Because sometimes they do that. They'll do vice chair and then they'll be the chair.
That
could be a succession model or something.
Yeah.
Normally something like that is done when there's a lot of responsibilities, and the new chair can benefit from the experience.
Yeah, that's right.
Not sure that's a necessary thing.
Yeah.
We could put him as chair emeritus.
Yeah, that's cool.
Perfect. Let him kind of just come to the meeting.
Six months of the year.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that would be cool. Honor. Yeah.
How long has he done it? It says he's been on here since 2011.
Yep.
Yeah.
So.
And I think he was. I think he had a couple terms before he was chair, maybe.
Yeah.
Because Don Evison had been chair, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it was 2013.
I think just from a practical standpoint, I'm in favor of rotating it a little bit just to give people the experience. And I don't know, I just think that keeping the same person, I mean, it's fine if the person, no one else wants to do it, but like I said, there's not really a lot of additional responsibility, so I think rotating around is
just having the pipe kind good. Of comes with pressure.
It does.
You don't realize it.
It is.
So you've actually been elected.
Well, that's true. I haven't been elected yet, so I'm not really quite yet. I'm just on the campaign trail, so. But I just think from a practice standpoint, rotating it is a good policy, I guess, or thing to do. So
I'll nominate Kyle if we need to do that.
Uh-huh. Second. Anybody opposed? Is that what we do?
Yeah, maybe like if you could like make an action. Yeah, everyone vote.
Robert's rules of order.
Yeah.
So should we vote for the chairperson first?
Or you can make it a
ticket for a slate.
A slate.
Slate.
Yeah.
For the Steve Kyle slate.
Steve. Yeah. The Willis Potter slate.
Don't get me started.
Yeah. So.
I vote yay.
Great.
Yay.
Yay.
All right.
Yep.
Next up.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. County Public Health. Who wants to talk?
Yeah.
Is it on you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. This is totally section.
Yep.
Recruitment. Yeah. So we did go out to. So I sent that email out about the agriculture position and the county at large. So we went out. We got applications. I was not able to get those approved through council in time for them to come to this meeting, but we do have two folks that will very likely be joining us, but I wasn't able to get them to come to this meeting until they're formally approved. So next meeting, hopefully they'll be in. Y'all can meet them. They seem like great candidates, so, yeah.
Good.
That's the update on that. So I emailed this out kind of late. We have to give a copy.
Winter update? Is that what you're talking about? Okay.
Yeah, the winter update. So instead of going through everything we used to do, you know, we did do a lot of work, which is great. Mm-hmm. I'll just kind of get some key highlights, things to put on your calendar. Some big things right now for us in operations is we're right in the middle of the regional system study. We hope to be coming out probably to the next SWAC to be presenting, having our engineering consultants coming out to do a presentation to get some feedback from you all on some of the options that we're looking at and recommendations for our solid waste system, particularly surrounding like central transfer station and the other transfer stations as well, but for a high focus on central.
So there has never ever been a presentation in this group about that study and the hiring of the consultant or what the consultant is doing in this group. So if you're just going to come in, I mean, we had this deal, we let people know that the consultant is hired.
Yeah.
But nothing is ever handed out as to what their, the extent of their activities are or anything.
I think it was on the agenda once or twice, and then maybe we ran late, didn't get to it, or Mike had to go. I remember it was like we're going to talk about it, and then we didn't, I think.
I think it would be great if everybody in this group has their scope of work, has their schedule for going through the scope of work, and where they're at today, and maybe at least a couple weeks ahead of time, having some idea of what's going to be expected of us at this meeting.
Totally. Yeah, sorry, I thought we had done that, or Mike had presented about that already.
No, he sat in the back the whole time.
Yeah.
He never really got to a presentation.
Okay.
There was one presentation that Mike did, but all he really talked about was the turning lane on SR-503.
Yeah.
That's really all that was talked about.
Yeah.
Okay.
This thing is much bigger than that.
Yes, yes. So yeah, we have a scope of work from them and a schedule, and I'm going to see if they've, I know that they were going to put something together more digestible, because it's like... Mm-hmm. Dry and long. Some of you might be interested in the longer version, and maybe we'll send you that. But I'll check in with Mike and Travis. I feel like they've already have something we could probably send out. The long version, the short version.
Okay, great, thank you.
Cool. The recycling collection contract, right now it's looking like mid-March that the RFP would go out, and so things are moving along on track in getting a vendor selected in time.
So in time by being July?
Yeah, so hopefully selection by July. And then they would be, if it's a different hauler or the same hauler, their new contract would start January 1st of 2021.
Okay.
And I still have your name down for being on the selection committee. So once we get an idea of when those dates will be, I'll reach out to you to find times.
Yep.
Car tagging just started a couple weeks ago. Looking into recycling carts. I'm hoping Derek would be here tonight to provide some feedback on how that's been going. But I know they're just in they just started, so the data's just starting to come in. So far, it's been looking really great. There's been a lot of positive feedback from the community. The two Waste Connections folks interacting, you know, people coming out and being like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. And then they explain it and they're like, oh, this is awesome. Like, what about this? What about this? You know? And it's been, I don't know if you've gotten any emails at the city, but we haven't had much, like, it seems like it's been rolling great. But we'll get more data as it keeps going along.
So I have a question on that.
Yeah.
When that, messaging came out, there was an article, I think, in the paper, mm-hmm. and then posted on Facebook, and I was kind of monitoring the comments.
Oh, yeah.
And it seemed like there was a lot of misunderstanding from, and I know people sit behind their computer and do that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But I was worried about that because I thought, you know, there's so much education that needs to happen, and, you know, in the meantime, people are showing up and doing that. And I'm just thinking, gosh, there's got to be a way to fill that gap so that there isn't such a visceral response in some cases.
Yeah. I looked up some of those comments. And it was actually kind of cool seeing some of the responses to those. And some of those folks actually, they did know the answer.
Yes.
And, like, that was kind of cool.
Yeah,
you know, that they were actually providing the right feedback. You know, because sometimes, the misinformation gets spread even further through those conversations.
No, I don't Facebook, so I don't know.
Oh, I thought you had something.
No. I was just kind of curious about what kind of the misinformation was, so we could think of ways to fix that. I mean, I know that you guys... I know Kaylee does some of the monitoring of that and outreach, you know, so we do have staff who are monitoring, and if anything is completely outrageous, you know, they'll chime in with, well, actually, you know, this is the correct information. So I think we are doing some outreach to try and keep people on message and get the right information out there. So.
Yeah. Yeah, we won't go on to the comments. Like comments to, you know, like respond back, but when those conversations do happen on our own pages, like I know Kaylee and others do a pretty good job of making sure folks know what's actually happening.
Okay.
Yeah, but we're not going out with them yet.
No,
I'm sorry, though, because they're commenting and trying to fix those combos.
Like a boxing ring.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you have ideas.
Okay.
So we are, it looks like, I'm not going to go over everything in here, but if you have any questions, just certified as green business, just great. The Vancouver Mall wants to be certified, so that's a big project that Sarah Kearns is taking on. There's a morning blend on the 20th at Columbia Springs. And then I have these, if you have anywhere that these could be distributed or even at your work, it's for the Green Awards that are coming up on March 18th at the Kiggins Theater. So there's an award for a few different levels of businesses that have been doing a great job, as well as and it's like a Teacher of the Year award and a Volunteer of the Year award. So it's a pretty fun event.
What time is that on the 18th? Is it on the flyer?
Yeah, it's on the flyer. It's in the evening.
Okay. 6 o'clock. Doors open at 5.
A big thing, I totally passed it. The property at Leitner that we've talked about, it's been sold. Are we able to talk? Yeah, we can. To the city, yeah, for potentially a new operations center. Right there by the landfill, next to Waste Connections holding here, too. And yeah, Master Composters are right in the middle of their training session right now to get 33 new people up to speed on recycling and composting best practices so that they can be out in the community. Last year, they had the biggest class ever of 35 folks, so it's fantastic. And if there's any questions about any of those updates,
I had a question, Kim. On the under Kaylee, said she created a map of the solid waste system, and then we'll also be mapping the waste streams. Are those like geographic maps where things are, or is it more kind of like a waste flow and kind of number tracking?
Kind of a flow chart, if I understand correctly, and flow and numbers and all that. That's what I saw with it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think there's two different. Is that one?
I did steal some of the notes from our monthly meetings as well.
And I'll mention too the WSRA, the Washington State Recycling Association Conference.
Mm-hmm.
It's here in Vancouver in May. Mm-hmm. I want to think it's like
the 17th
to 19th or
17th through 20th.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so.
Sorry, Washington State Recycling Association.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I haven't been in Vancouver for a number of years, so it's a great opportunity. It'll be right here in our backyard.
Do you know where that will be?
The Hilton.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they're doing golf at High Mountain, I think, on Sunday, and then tours maybe Tuesday, Monday?
Yeah, usually it's the first day they do tours, right?
Then it usually ends like at noon on Wednesday.
Is Hilton a green business?
Okay.
Or they are partner. Program.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they
compost.
Good. Thank you.
Yeah, if you're interested in that, you can let us know. We might be able to have you as a member to get membership rates to be able to go to the conference either for a single day or for the full conference.
Yeah.
Or even just a tour or whatever. We can help figure out how to make that happen for you.
Sounds good.
I think the rest is for me is legislative updates, which is later, so I'll wait.
Now that we're on public health, it's harder to tell on the agenda.
I love the sentence from waste enforcement. I put everything together in a PowerPoint. If you want it electronically, I certainly can share, but I just thought that numbers, just riling up numbers, didn't always sink in, so sometimes it's better just to see them, and if you get bored, you can read ahead. So all of the quarterly reports that you get, I summarize. So we received 162 complaints last year. One was carryover, a couple or carryover from the year prior. That's why we get to resolve more than we received. We did 59 facility inspections, 47 of which were permitted facilities and 12 that are exempt facilities. The permit applications that we reviewed and followed up on, we had 7 new last year, which is a lot of new facilities. Section 30 is on there twice. Once was for the composting solid waste permit applications that we all remember that stock meeting. And the second was for the notice of intent for the exempt materials. That's the concrete and asphalt that they do have that they process under their standing gravel permit for ecology. We've also wrapped that under the notice of intent process. That was one of the kind of closing the loop of getting that all resolved. But Metro Metals was a name change. So it used to be IMS, which was electronic recycling. Then they switched to Simon Metals, which still was electronic recycling. Then when I did their inspection this October, they said, oh, by the way, we're Metro Metals now. So we got to run them through. So they're not really a new facility, but they did have to go through the process. The notice of intent process from ecology standpoint around the state of Washington, when an owner-operator submits the notice of intent, ecology takes that notice of intent, they date stamp it and file it, and then send them a report a year later that says your annual report is due on April 1st. And that is it. So in Clark County, in an effort to be more diligent in ensuring that they're in compliance with the performance standards of the WAC 040, it says, thou shalt be in compliance with all state, federal, and local rules and regulations. So we have partnered with City of Vancouver at their request to build a better program for multi-agency review. The form that they fill out is very simplistic. It's 10 questions. What kind of material are you handling? Concrete, asphalt. How will you ensure that there won't be contaminants? We will reject all loads. And it's very simplistic, whether that's the case all the time or not. Who knows? So we've been working hand in hand with the city. We've formed a committee. We've come up with a supplemental form for Clark County, specifically for Clark County, that will be used to gather more information, like what kind of chemicals will they be storing on site, providing a site plan that shows where they will be storing solid waste, ingress, egress, any underground utilities, where they will be storing materials, any buildings on the property, just so that our planning departments have a little bit better idea of what's happening so we can start that conversation. The City of Vancouver has also, we are working to start a process where it will be more of a team approach. So when those notice of intents come in, where they would do like a pre-lease meeting or a pre-application meeting, bring all of the parties involved that are important, so bringing Julie and her solid waste team, bringing fire if necessary, the planning department, the traffic safety folks if needed, to make sure all the players are on board to let them know what needs to be updated or additional permits are needed before we just give a stamp of approval. So actually having them go through a more rigorous process to make sure that we're doing due diligence. So while we have done that on all of these over the last couple of years, it is something that we are trying to formalize a little bit more. Do you have anything else to add to that, Julia?
Good. I appreciate the cooperation.
Yeah. So
piloting with
this. And I've also called Clark County Community Development, talked to Jan Bazala. He said, we are short-staffed and all behind whatever they come up with, sure. So that's what we're going with. And he retires March. So I'm glad we got it in before he retires to get his blessing. So some other new slash potential sites. These weren't covered necessarily in the update, but have happened in the last month. Vancouver Asphalt and Recycling is also called Granite. They submitted a notice of intent to Ecology in August. Again, where they rubber stamp and it gets filed away. It missed getting forwarded to Public Health for a review. So now we're trying to follow up with them, give them this new form that we've just created get additional information, but they have not even responded to the email, like, hey, thanks for emailing us. So we're working with them on that. There was a concern from City of Vancouver that was reported to us about there's a corner parcel, the southeast corner of Section 30. Section 30 is so much fun. Had some concrete asphalt. People were concerned that it was being buried. And so I met out there with Derek Rocket from Ecology and also City of Vancouver staff. We confirmed with City of Vancouver Community Development, part of their fill and grade permit through the city allows them to use inert material as part of their fill project. It's all under geotech engineering and structurally supportive. So the volume of concrete and asphalt that they had on site was under the 250 cubic yard threshold that's required for exemption. And they do have some large tree stumps that are there that could be used in the wetland projects, but, and it does exceed the 25 cubic yards, but that was left by a previous operator. Their plan is this summer to grind those and then haul them off site. So we've told them that if they are able to do that by October 1 before the next rainy season, that will not require an NOI, so that they don't have to go through that cumbersome process when they're really planning to just get rid of it and not continue and perpetuate that activity. We also got a report from a company called Jace Custom Landscaping. They're kind of off of 4th Lane and 117th-ish, I think. It's kind of in a weird, it's really an elongated property, kind of by Golden Corral, if you know that area. Again, we had gotten a report from another agency that they had yard debris there. So I went out with the Department of Ecology. They had only a 30 cubic yard drop box on site, and they take the material to H&H. It's only their landscaping trucks. So we sent them a formal notice that they're not required to have a notice of intent, that if they were to expand their operations and store more than the 25 cubic yards, or if they were to accept from the public, then they would have to have an NOI. So those are just kind of updates and fun things that I do. But even though they don't count as a facility inspection, they take up a lot of time. So we are doing the Clark County Code. It actually should say 2412, so that was an error on my part as I look at that. We are doing an update modification. Brian Schlottman is my new program manager. We have been sitting many meetings for 2.5 hours looking at our code and trying to infiltrate genius and amazing, wonderful thought for the benefit of the solid waste world. We've put together, we've taken Snohomish County's solid waste code, tried to marry it with ours. Ours is really, really, really weak. If you've ever looked at ours, like pathetically weak. And so we're trying to like inject it. And in my opinion, it doesn't read or flow very nicely. It's hard to have facility information and citizen nuisance complaints in the same code and have it read, thou shalt have a permit. You don't need a permit. You need this. You don't need this. And so to have it all meshed together is, I'm struggling with that. But we do have some questions that we've asked for a prosecuting attorney. In our old code, or the current code, jurisdictional health, Board of Health, is used as both Board of Health, the Health Department, and I think even the State Board of Health. So it's interchanged throughout. So we're trying to actually spell out actually when it is Board of Health, when it is the Health Department or Public Health, and trying to really use that. Health officer sometimes means our actual health officer and sometimes means staff acting on behalf of the health officer, so we're trying to clarify that. Acronyms used throughout our spotty at best. We have some questions for our prosecuting attorney, primarily regarding enforcement, fines and penalties. Again, this code hasn't really been updated since 1978, so can we ask for more than $500? per violation, because our hearings examiner cost us $1,500, so it'd be nice to break even. Not to mention our time and trying to get that back. So we do have some questions that we're working out. We're meeting with her tomorrow. And then once we incorporate her recommendations, we also need to add in, like, justification of, I don't know the word, I asked Brian earlier what the word was that I'm looking for, but just why we're adding certain sections or why certain things were changed. Just so that when other people are reviewing the code, they go, oh, okay, that makes sense why this is in this code. We're going to be working on that. Then the next step, we will expand our public health staff internal review. So that will include the folks from SWEO, like Kim and Amber and Mike and Travis. And also some folks like Brian DeDonker, who have specialty in hazardous waste. And also Kevin Rochelle, who works with our local source control. So they have more of a business perspective on hazardous waste and solid waste management. So I think that'll be good. And then at that point, we will expand to have the SWAC review. So conveniently, our next SWAC meeting is May. So I will not be here, but Brian said that he will be here to advocate for our call to action on behalf of SWAC to make a committee that wants to delve in. I'm not quite sure. I know that we want to do other agencies reviewing as well, City of Vancouver, as well as the other municipalities, and also some other county agencies so that we have buy-in. So we're kind of working on all of that. And once we have SWAC reviews and we put in all the comments and filtered everything out and have something somewhat presentable, hopefully at that point, we have an RFP for a contractor to come in and facilitate the public process. So, doing, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to wait for your pause.
To facilitate public comments and have a way to capture them and track them and capture them in a meaningful way that work doesn't fall to me as the program person of one.
Are you going to have to do like open houses mm-hmm. and coordinate?
We are hoping that the contractor will be part of, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and then our role, we would work with the consultant in presenting to Board of Health for final recommendation.
So would we get this before the meeting then to review and be prepared?
So at the meeting in May, our call is going to be for there to. We're hopeful at that point that we will have done our internal review and gotten the comments in a meaningful way, and that meeting would be, you know, who, as part of SWAC, would be willing to be part of a committee, and then we would just submit it at that point. I'm not sure the timeline. Brian has a very short timeline. Maybe not that this is notes. Brian has a very short timeline and a very optimistic timeline, in my opinion. So. While I am hopeful by the next SWAC meeting that we will have a meaningful document that is prepared to share with you, I will not promise that said document will be meaningful and put together with all of the comments at that point. So I am hopeful, but we shall see.
It's a pretty significant revision, it sounds like.
Yeah.
It is. I think we've gone from a 12-page document to 45 pages.
So are you getting businesses involved too? Like how do you reach out to the community?
Well, part of it would be the solid waste industry. And most of the solid waste industry is already regulated under WAC 173-350, which our code already adopts. But we want to have language in there that if you're not in compliance and we find out that you're not in compliance, that we have means and mechanisms for enforcement other than, can you pretty please fill this out by Friday? Okay, can you turn it in by the end of the month? Okay, now can you... We don't really have right now anything with teeth that says, I need this in 30 days or you're going to not operate. Or, you know, like you would do with a restaurant. Like, you don't have a food service establishment, therefore you can't serve food to the public. You're closed. We don't have that same mechanism in our enforcement code
for example. So those kinds of things. We're also hoping to add things like minimum garbage service requirements for properties. We're hopeful that it would pass for the whole county, and or at the very least municipalities in the urban growth area. But I'm really pushing for the entire county. We've checked with Derek. Derek said that there are not properties. There might be group settings in some areas, but there are not properties that are not able to be serviced. So, and my hope is that we can align that ask with the study that's being done of the pressures. Right. So, as one of those recommendations, hopefully that those will coincide in the messaging. But you know, we're also hoping to add things like burying of dead animals and managing animal waste, and so it kind of balloons into all sorts of things. So, requiring garbage cans with lids for residents, so you can't just have bags and bags of garbage. So it's pretty. We're trying to get it dialed in. I hope that we're going to have enough people to do enforcement for it, or maybe it will justify. Maybe it will bring in more enforcement capability, more a more rigorous program for solid waste enforcement.
Build that into the code.
Yeah.
Code requirement, county.
Yeah.
Got funded.
Yeah. We don't, public health, we used to get general funds, and they eliminated most of our general funding. So we're primarily fee-based. So a lot of our fees for solid waste are grant funding and then the tipping fee.
I'm being facetious.
But hopefully, if Waste Connections has more garbage going directly there through their customer service, that would increase our tipping fee and then support additional enforcement, in theory. So that's the process. So the next meeting, we'll have a request for people who are interested in reviewing the code and providing comments. And we're hoping it won't be too onerous, but maybe having a couple meetings, maybe 2-hour chunks at a time, so that you're not coming back and forth. And maybe a meeting at a library or something off-site where you're also not having to deal with our traffic of parking. Okay. and then our 2019 program highlights. 2019, we had a measles outbreak in public health. We got a new program manager. We had the Section 30 materials permit application process. Watley Pitt Fund and activities. I just got an email today that they are going to be submitting the interim update for the operations plan so that that material can get moved to the solid waste handling side of the facility where it's all paved. Step in the right direction. WestFan, the City of Vancouver Curbside Organics Program, starting up with WestFan. As a side note, when I have been out for my last inspections, there's been organics that have been coming outside of the transfer station floor. The grates where the organics area is has been clogged, although they do clean them daily, I am told, but they have been clogged when I've been there. And so it is an area that is requiring additional maintenance. So when we think about, if someday this should be expanded out to the county, perhaps a facility that can accommodate this waste stream and actually be designed and built for this, I think would be ideal to consider or have as a recommendation. It's really just kind of shoehorned into an area that they retrofitted to try to make the best use of the space. But there have been some compliance issues associated with it. So while the numbers are good and people's response is good, the management at the solid waste facilities side, they are having some troubles. But just a side note, we got our solid waste enforcement grant was renewed. So we got $247,000 for the biennium. We updated 2412 in August 2019 only to include that WAC 173350 so that we can be in compliance and get our funding. Yay. And then we started our full review update. So that's what I've got. That's my quick. Did you have a question? Or did I answer it?
Yeah, I answered it.
Okay. Any other questions? Or did I go too fast? Or? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you.
Perfect.
Great.
Okay.
Good evening.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm Julie Gilbertson, just in case you aren't calling with the City of Vancouver. I'll give you the Cliff Notes version, if that's okay. Just two quick updates for you. Attached, and I can send this to Kim to send out if that's of interest. These are highlights from the 2019 Fall Leaves Coupon Program. A reminder of what the coupon looks like. It's a regional program that Vancouver manages and works with Clark County Public Works and Public Health to get the word out for residents to get their leaves, gather them, get them off the streets, out of storm drains, and compost it. And that program has been in the works for over 2 decades. We've seen some highlights, almost 7,400 coupons redeemed this year. The average number of cubic yards per coupon is roughly 2 cubic yards. So we've seen smaller loads of material, but more coupons redeemed this year. And overall, that program costs, this the disposal cost is about $156,000. Further disposal aspects. And then just this week, we released an RFP for yard debris leaves yard debris and leaves receiving and processing sites. So in essence, these are the sites that are willing to participate in our coupon programs, both the city and the county's coupon programs, as well as receive material from the city that's coming from our operations and from our programs of cleanups and tripper events. And so we are coming out to the end of our current contracts with the 4 vendors that we currently have contracts with. That's McFarland's, Columbia Resource Company, West Van, and Triangle Resources, and H&H Wood Recyclers. And so this RFP is going out and will close at the end of the month. And then we'll do a review process and selection. And ideally, we can choose vendors that are consistent with what our community is used to seeing and are also approved to receive yard debris and leaves at their locations. So we're excited to see that process and the renewal of the contracts. It basically sets rates for us so we can have predictable rates that we can build our programs around and continuity for the programs for the future. So these are 3-year contracts with the option to extend for 1 year twice, so a total of 5 years once we enter into them. Those are our, other contracts that we renewed that we managed, the region of Rigolet contract. That is the contract for reflection app reminder tool, A to Z tool, if you have it on your phone, Recycle Right, also a web app format. That is just a piggyback contract that we ensured that we still have that program and service available for the next 2 years, and then we'll have to go through a formal RFP process to pursue extension or renewal of a contract with a vendor for that service. So, those are my Cliff Notes. Any questions? Good. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
And Derek's not here to give an update for Waste Connection.
Yeah. Can I give a quick update for Waste Connection?
Yeah.
Derek will probably tell me, but no. Yeah. I think a big thing is they got a new compactor installed at West Van.
Yeah.
So that's been an ongoing problem for years. Mm-hmm. So in the last 2 weeks, they put in a new compactor. It's an SSI.
Mm-hmm.
The previous one was at the Harris and not doing too well. It was like refurbished.
This is garbage compactor?
Garbage compactor, yeah. So they're able to probably throughput on the compactors twice what it had been before. So it's a lot better technology, I think, and good way to pack materials. And then the other thing is that the lock closure is happening, I think, in March, maybe for 2 weeks. Does that sound right?
Typically, yeah.
So they truck material during that time, and that's kind of a planned thing. Not like
not
a longer
emergency.
It's like a normally 2 week type thing or 10 days or something.
Yeah.
Together, if I may, as a city, their contract with Ridgefield was approved by Ridgefield City Council in December. So they now have a new 10-year collection contract with Ridgefield and will go automated garbage collection in April.
Yes.
Special Works is next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we have Jessica to give an update on the Special Waste project. Will you give a quick brief?
your project, just to remind people?
Yeah. So I started July last year. I'm Jessica, by the way, Jessica Fishberg. Last year, our solid waste team kind of identified a few targeted special wastes that we might need more attention in our system. So this project was created. It's a two-year project to look at some specific wastes. And this is the list: household hazardous waste, small point generator waste, construction demolition, and asbestos. And right now, most recently, I've been focusing on our curbside collections of hazardous waste. So that's our oil, antifreeze, and batteries. And I just wanted to take a few minutes to just share the major gaps that I've identified so far and what we're working on.
Can I ask a question first?
Sure.
What's an example of small quantity generator dangerous waste?
That's an excellent question. So it's the same type of waste as like a household hazardous waste facility gets, but it's from a business that produces that in small quantities. So there's three levels that businesses can produce. There's small quantity, medium quantity, and large. And the medium and large quantity generators, like the industrial facilities and such, they're regulated by ecology. And then the small quantities, the small businesses that might have batteries and sharps or cleaning chemicals and that sort of material paint, they're regulated by local government. So that's why we're looking at those.
Is that like 100 kilograms per month?
Yeah, there's a threshold. Yeah, I think it's like 220 pounds or less per month. And then
per chemical or total?
Total. And then there's an accumulation limit, so you can't just stockpile it forever. I think that's, I'm not sure what that number is. It's not very high, though, so they have to keep on top of their waste. And I've been focusing on curbside batteries, oil, and antifreeze. I don't really have much. I just put up some pictures. I'll just jump right in. The biggest problem we're finding with batteries is fires and collection. On the left is a picture of a recycling truck that caught fire at the end of last year, and it got some press in the Columbian and caused a bit of a stir up because it's right in front of somebody's house in a residential neighborhood, and they had to empty the entire road on the street so responders could extinguish the fire. And that's been a trend. There's been more happening each year. This 2019, they had 10 fires that they thought were from batteries. And it's because laptop batteries, lithium ions, and cell phone batteries explode when they're damaged, or they can smolder and start fires, so they're really damaging the system. And that's a growing problem. And we collect batteries at the curb, but not the lithium ion batteries. That's not the type that we're targeting. We're really going for the alkaline batteries and then the household sizes of rechargeable batteries. So like AA's, AAA rechargeables, maybe like the drill bit kind of batteries. On the right is a picture that I actually took yesterday of what they're getting in on the lids for curbside batteries. Kind of hard to see, but there's definitely a little, like an iPad and some cords. There's some good stuff, drill bits. But then there's a lot of laptop batteries that are coming in, and that's just a growing contaminant in the system. When we started battery collection at the curb in 2003, there wasn't a whole lot of that. So that's kind of a concern, the contamination that we're looking at, and we're kind of brainstorming ways to address these concerns and then working with our partners and stakeholders to see what kind of changes we could implement to improve the system. And then the other side of that curbside hazardous waste is the oil and antifreeze. And the biggest problem that I've seen for curbside is mixed containers of waste. And I was at the transfer station for about 6 hours just surveying the drivers as they dropped off this material, and almost all of them said, yes, we're seeing more and more mixed waste at the curb that they tag and then they leave it. But sometimes they end up with, on the right, those are the mixed containers they set aside. One guy told me it was this definitely looks like motor oil this morning in the dark, but then he got to the facility and it's obviously a mixed flurry of who knows what automotive fluid. And then the other one is more of like a, it's okay, but not great, the opaque containers. Mm-hmm. You can kind of tell there's like a normally a little slit that's clear on the side of the, jug that they look at and see, oh yeah, that's motor oil, and they'll take it if they can tell, but they're taking a lot of stuff like that at the curb, just stuff that's not in the right container. Mm-hmm.
Jessica, if they see something like that at the curb, with like maybe it's mixed, say, mm-hmm. it's clearly wrong, do they take it or do they leave it with a tag?
They leave it with a tag if they notice it. It sounded like the ones that make it to the transfer station were a mistake, that they were starting early in the morning in the dark and they couldn't tell that it was a mixed container. Mm-hmm. But then they also told me that sometimes it's like a game of chicken with the resident, where they'll see that same container every week that the resident just leaves it at the curb.
Yeah.
And at that point, they'll take it because they just don't want it to spill. It's really vulnerable on the curb like that. So they do their best to try and educate the resident. And then I know they're working on some follow-up with their, I can't remember the name, to actually call the resident or send them some information if that's mm-hmm. consistently happening at the same location. So that's a thing that they're working on ongoing. And with these wastes, just identifying these problems, my role is to do that and just talk to everybody that I can, compare our system to other systems and see what changes we can make, what is there room to improve. And then just provide some recommendations that we can work with. And the other thing that I wanted to touch on is product stewardship, which kind of will segue into Kim's part on legislation. So this year, meds disposal and paint disposal product stewardship programs are going to start. So on the left is a picture of a kiosk for meds take back. And basically how they work is they'll be, or sites that are eligible to have a drop box for medications, both pharmacies, police departments, and hospitals, they'll sign up. It's a voluntary program, and then residents can go there and drop any of their medications. It doesn't have to be prescription, non-prescription. It's just unanimous, any medications they can drop in. So we're working with our outreach team to try and get more sites to sign up. They're not rolling out yet. They're still waiting on final contracts with the Department of Health on that one. And then paint take back is more common in Oregon and California. That'll be happening this year. More paint stores taking back paint from residents and businesses. So that'll help a little bit with that business generated waste that we don't have a whole lot of options for. And that's kind of all I had for now, but back at that first list of things, if there's something in this list that kind of triggers your brain, like, yes, I have a concern about one of those wastes, I have some stuff that I want to talk about, I definitely want to learn from what you guys have to say. And you can feel free to reach out on any of it. Like I said, I'm kind of focusing on the residential side right now, but I'll be moving into the business and construction stuff later on this year.
Yeah, the reports Jessica's putting together, they haven't been finalized yet, but once they are, we can share them mm-hmm. with the group. And she's been doing a lot of research in the scientific literature as well, which I really appreciate. And they're in a great format, and we'll be using those to then make decisions, especially as we're in the middle of the recycling contract, because a lot of it, that's why she's prioritized the curbside programs for the first reports that she's doing. So when we get into that contract negotiation, we can start evaluating how we want to move with those programs for best practices, or how to transition to another program, and working with our other partners with the cities to figure that out. So they're really great reports that we'll share with you too. Yeah. And I love talking about battery explosions and
Because
it expires and stuff, so don't feel bad about reaching out about any of that. It's what I enjoy doing.
Yeah.
And that's all I've got.
I'd be curious to see about like e-waste, like curbside recycling for e-waste or something, is like a possibility. Just what you said, all the amount of, you know, I know we have drop-off locations for that stuff, but just with all the contaminants and with the batteries, the easier you can make it on people to separate them out, or you know, educate them on separating it out might be.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if other places are doing any sort of e-waste curbside recycling.
I've seen some. City of Seattle does like a box that's $5 to set out with your with your curbside recycling.
Like old electronics.
For electronics, and they also do one for batteries. So.
Mm-hmm. Waste Connections does collect e-waste curbside for a fee.
Oh.
For the customers that might not be well advertised.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Probably not.
And there's been passed legislation proposals.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's, you know, elderly people who might not be able to, I mean, that's the whole problem, get out to the curb too, but there's just all these sort of issues where it's just like, oh, throw up the garbage, you know, that's what seems to be the sort of default mode, is like, I don't know what to do with this garbage, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Trying to prevent that as much as we can.
I think one thing that I learned with the fire and the article, the truck, the battery.
Yeah.
I think it was mentioned that you're supposed to tape the ends of your batteries, like your double A's.
Yep.
And I was like, oh my gosh, I never knew that. I mean, it makes total sense, but
So
now.
Yeah, our public health page and our outreach pages have been doing more Facebook posts about batteries at the curb, and those are always the most popular posts that they do. People just go crazy over them.
Yeah.
There's a lot of information about batteries, and just getting it out in the public is is challenging, but they seem to respond well to it.
That's good.
Interesting. Yeah, we've just started like rolling out that education. So I'm still figuring out how to do it, and there's some recommendations in Jessica's report too. So. Yeah, there's just so many different electronics and different types of batteries and like toothbrushes and toys and all that stuff. That
even just like the littlest toys now, you know, my kids have these tiny toys and they all have these just tiny itsy bitsy batteries in them, you know, that light things up and do these cool stuff, but it's like getting it out of the toy is next to impossible, so I'm sure a lot of that is just ending up in the garbage, unfortunately.
Yeah, and it's really hard.
And some of those are probably lithium ion. I mean, those are obviously more high-end things, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's really hard for solid waste systems to respond to that. One that I keep getting calls about is vaping pens. They have
that.
Nicotine, batteries, and electronics all in one.
Mm-hmm.
All in one nice, hazardous package, so...
Yeah.
That's an interesting one that might might be looking at in the future. Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Jessica. You're next.
Yeah. So Jason is not here, nor is Travis, so I'll try to update as best I can on where things are at. We met with Jason as kind of a very small subcommittee of one. But if anyone else is interested in joining him as part of that policy subcommittee, that would be great. Right now, legislation session has really kicked off. I was up there on Friday helping our solid waste, our LASALFO and WASAC, the Washington County Association. Am I getting that right? It's our basically the lobbyists for the county in partnership with the other counties to advocate for more funding. You might be familiar with the SWFA funding, how we were talking about that in the past. And it's from the MOTCA fund, which is a tax that it's on oil and a lot of that goes to, it goes to the Department of Ecology. We submit grants to get that funding. All counties get a minimal amount, and then the rest is distributed by population. And 20% of that goes to Melissa's position, and then the other 80% goes to what's called implementation, which is what we do on our side. And so back, I'm going to pass around this little bit, but I was up there advocating for that, and to try to get levels back to pre-recession levels, because we're still 62% less than where we were. And they changed things up last legislative session, so that the tax is by volume instead of by price, because gas prices went down, and so then we had less funding. And so we're like, can we please change this to by volume instead? So they did that, and then now they actually have more money in the account than they had projected. So we're now asking that we get that funding back that we used to have, at least at the level that we had in 2011. So, and we're not even asking for more. We just want at least that level. Yeah. But talking to the legislators up there, it's looking promising this year. So we're hoping to get additional funding, and maybe that could help get that second person off the news. We'll see. And then there are a number of bills this session that are probably of interest to everyone. Of particular interest to us, especially in Jessica's work, is there's a battery product stewardship bill, as well as a Sharps product stewardship bill. So these are bills that would require those industries that are producing those materials to put money in to then help municipalities figure out, or to put a program together like Paint Care to set up and coordinate those drop-off sites or pickups or whatever it needs to be. So this is an opportunity, like we did with the paint stewardship last year, for SPLAC to write a letter or whatever you all want to do. There's other bills happening to ban styrofoam. There's a reusable bag bill, or a plastic bag ban bill, essentially. Another one that food serviceware products, reducing waste with regard to that, as well as solar panel recycling and food labeling that are happening. A right to repair law as well. And I'll send this link out to everybody. I apologize that I didn't know off. It was only a few moments, like today, that it's like, oh, okay, Travis and Jason are both gone. I'll send this link out. There's a great website, Zero Waste Washington, that has a list of all the applicable bills to the work that we do and what their status is. So particularly the Sharps and the battery stewardship, those are ones that we're very closely following that would really impact our system in a very positive way. So I don't know if y'all had anything to discuss or comments on that, or that I could pass along to Jason, or if you want to be involved with the committee.
What is Jason doing exactly? What is this committee? I mean, are they going up to Olympia, or are they tracking this stuff, or what is
So we're trying to, as we get information, and also to include him in some of those committees that we're involved with. So WSRA has a policy committee, as well as our lobbyist. They have a solid waste managers group that Travis is a part of, so he gets those updates regularly, and then we can then share those with Jason and figure out, you know, is this something you want to bring to SPAC? You know, send an email out. He'll write the letter, get you all to vote on it. So he's kind of the one coordinating that, you know, because that really shouldn't be coming from us. We can pass along the information, but we really need somebody to spearhead that, kind of like Warren did last year with writing the letter. And then we can help, you know, send it out to the legislators. And then, yeah, going to Olympia. He wasn't able to come up with me on Friday. It was very short notice that we got, even, I mean, this stuff, it's like, it was like Wednesday. He was like,
can you come up on Friday to help us? So it's very short notice, but Jason really wants to help wherever he can.
And you feel you need a second person from SWAC to do that, to help Jason out?
I think Jason would appreciate that, but I mean, it's really, I don't know.
Okay, yeah. So maybe we'll ask Jason.
Yeah.
So what did you do when you went up there? You met with our local legislators?
Yeah. So I was with a bunch of solid waste managers. I got to pretend I was Travis. It was fun. They kept saying, and here's a bunch of local county solid waste managers. I'm like, okay, cool. I'll do that first day. And we just told our stories about how the funding affected us when it dipped and how it would help us. And to get their support to adjust the budget so that we can have that funding in solid waste and it not be taken to something else and written somewhere else. Because everybody's pulling that money to go everywhere. So we want it to be used for its initial purpose instead of being taken away for education or something else, so litter or whatever.
I think it would be good to get that link and then maybe let Jason know, you know, if anybody wants to maybe help with that. Mm-hmm. And maybe since we don't meet again until May and probably the short session will be over by then, maybe like an email to kind of all of us, kind of like, hey, I really think this is important, or, you know, we should.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's probably meeting quarterly, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but encourage him to kind of reach out to us by email.
Well, let me ask you this question. You're looking at Kim. Should we be looking at Kim for that to happen, or should we be looking at our newly elected chair? I mean, it's a SWAC responsibility. It's not a county responsibility.
Yeah.
We want more out of our committee members.
Mm-hmm. You tell me.
Yeah. I mean, because we can pass along information. We can help facilitate. We can connect you to legislators. But ultimately, it needs to be something that you guys these are kind of priorities for us, and we're
as far as that was going to be one of my questions is, like, as far as all these bills you're listing, mm-hmm. sounds like the stewardship of the batteries and the sharps mm-hmm. is the big one.
Yeah,
so we're already kind of working on that. Mm-hmm. And then mm-hmm. this tax on oil, is that the other kind of priority? Is that what I'm gathering from staff, is that two things.
I mean, we've already been up as our solid waste managers, so I think that one's okay. Mm-hmm. But the stewardship ones, they would benefit from having a group of, you know, folks mm-hmm. that represent the residents mm-hmm. and a government agency
yep.
that are saying you want this and are advocating for it.
Yeah, I mean, we need to decide as a body, right? What kind of positions we want to take, how strong a role we want to have in these types mm-hmm. of things. And that's something we do independently of county staff. Mm-hmm. If we decide that we want to be more active, then it's worthwhile to talk to Travis and Kim and say, all right, help us. Or really, at this point, to be talking to Jason and saying, all right, mm-hmm. Jason, where should we get involved?
Mm-hmm.
And the only way to really do that, because we'll only meet quarterly, is through emails or we, mm-hmm. you know. At least I'd go have a cup of coffee somewhere.
Yeah.
But that's something, seems to me, that as resident representatives of Clark County, we should definitely dip our toe into
mm-hmm.
and be supportive of the county's programs mm-hmm. and of legislation that helps our county and our citizens. There's my soapbox. I hadn't planned.
We want you in New Hampshire now.
And from the corner meeting, when SWAC went to quarterly, it mm-hmm. used to be monthly, mm-hmm. so it is up to SWAC that if you feel as a board that you need to meet more regularly, mm-hmm. maybe during this legislative session, so that you can, there is the opportunity to still meet monthly, or during the code update or something if SWAC feels that it's an important role for SWAC to partake in and to be a part of that process. So that's up to you too, that it can be expanded. It doesn't have to always and forever go back to being monthly, but mm-hmm. it can be monthly for next month and March and April or mm-hmm. that's something that you guys have to say. Sorry to hope to not step out of the way, but
it says special meetings may be called by the chair or by a majority vote of the commission.
Yep. What do you want to do?
What I want to do? Yeah. I think we ought to reach out to Jason and say, Jason, you understand, you know, Kim gave us an update. There's a lot of bills out there right now. Mm-hmm. Sorry we weren't able to make the meeting. We would really like to get together. Or those on the board that can make it would like to get together with you.
Yeah.
Would like to hear from you. Would like to make some decisions on how we can, where we want to step in or not.
Mm-hmm. See, I think just starting, at least a starting off point would just be an email chain between the SWAC board members, yeah, getting the ball rolling.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't have a lot of time as pressing on all these things, obviously. So,
do we even as a commission have each other's communication information, emails?
They're in the.
Yeah, there should be a roster that you were given.
Okay.
Yeah. I think like when you send a site, this thing has everybody's email on it.
Yeah, there's one thing that does.
So this thing.
Might not be that one. Did you get a thumb drive?
Oh, yeah, but that's not up to date anymore.
It should be. We haven't had any. I might have emailed it out. Usually,
like,
email it out if we've had a number, but
mm-hmm. Right.
Also.
So then I have it.
There is. And then when we get the monthly or the email, the pre-mail. With all this, you know.
Oh, that's got everybody's in it.
That's got everyone's in it. So we
what,
can,
what you sent out to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So we can use that to get out.
I know we've got some new members coming on. I don't know if they'll people have that. We can have them if they come in like in the next couple of weeks.
If we can get that, their information. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, hopefully in a couple weeks. I'll definitely let you all know when it's final.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Cool.
Okay.
Thank you. And Derek's not here to provide the current tagging update.
Okay.
But we kind of covered that. And I don't have any other pressing things to cover.
And also at West Ham, they have a new state supervisor.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he's okay, but he's replaced Nathan Smith from the previous.
Quinn.
Yeah,
Quinn.
Quinn.
Was the new,
but I don't
know his last name. Condor? Something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Condor.
Condor?
Yeah. Yeah. So he comes out of Thirst.
Spokane.
Yeah.
And a compactor expert. So we're fortunate to have that expertise at the start of a new, shiny new compactor.
Yeah.
It smells clean.
For a day.
You did last week.
I would get it off. I think my compactor looks so trendy.
You were.
I am.
Anything else for the good of the order?
I don't know anything.
If we as a committee, we go have a meeting and we decide, we don't have any responsibility to notify you guys, we can just leave.
I don't know.
True. I'm asking. There might be like some public
yeah, I was thinking public meeting stuff. If we're meeting,
unless we're like a committee of the whole or something.
Yeah, that might. Yeah, might only be elected officials that are. Yeah. No.
Okay. You can interact.
Put your attorney on that too. Yeah.
Like I think, as you represent a certain body, you can interact with those committees, and the members get their input. Say for legislation, and then bring it back to your collective body.
Go to my neighborhood association meetings.
Yeah, how would this blah 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 affect you, or what are your thoughts on blah blah blah?
Yeah.
That informal copy talk.
Mm-hmm.
My sense is coffee would be okay,
right?
Or even tea.
Just don't tell a Colombian.
Yeah.
Oh wait, we got a tip. Yeah.
I mean, we can start looking at the bylaws. So it just says that, you know, staff will be here as necessary to provide support to SWAC.
Right.
We'll take minutes.
Right.
We'll, you know, coordinate, but there's no, like...
Yeah,
we can.
Yeah. We can do whatever we want.
I'll tell someone to bring us.
Exactly.
That's good to get this information.
We just did.
Yeah. Thank you.
mean, I think as far as legislation goes, I mean, it would be good to be a part of this so we can help make sure that, you know, as we get updates, you know, like how to...
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I can't imagine us doing anything or much of anything. I can't imagine us writing a letter and sending it off and then telling you later.
Yeah. Like Travis.
By the way.
If we met, we couldn't do any decisions. But I think we did allow so we could do email decisions. So we could... We can meet for coffee and then kind of like text each other to do notes or something. I don't know. It's quite challenging.
So, Steve, you'll set up a group email regarding the battery and Sharp stewardship.
I've got a list of everybody's email address.
Okay.
So I've already got that.
And that'll kind of, we can loop Jason in and hopefully he can get us some guidance and we can discuss, you know. Either we can either discuss meeting times or discuss via email. You know, we can go do some. I don't know a lot about it, so I can do some more research on the bills and we can decide whether it's something we want to support as a.
How long does the session go?
I don't know.
It's
not long.
It's a shorter session.
Yeah,
sure.
And then I guess the other thing we want to know is when these bills are coming up.
Yeah, well, they're already on that website. You'll see like where what committees they've come up to, and what the next step is.
Zero Waste Washington was the website.
Yeah, I'll send the link.
So that's something we're going to want to get a handle on fast.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And then there might be some where it's already too late for the thing, and some we can.
Or some they know that are already going to die because of whatever reason.
Right.
So it'd be good too for us to reconnect. Usually So tomorrow is our weekly call with the Waxman group, the service managers that I went out with on Friday. Mm-hmm. So I'll get an update on where these things are at. Zero Waste Washington is usually pretty good at having their website up to date, but
You'll
always good
faster.
To connect folks that are right there, mm-hmm. you know, on the phone.
If we do meet, you know, if we decide we're going to sit down, we certainly could invite you or Travis. Mm-hmm. Because of your background and your knowledge of what's going on, you guys are mm-hmm. keeping tabs on this stuff pretty close.
Yeah.
So it can be helpful.
Yeah.
Does WSRE already have a similar website where they can refer to for policy and positions you can serve things?
I don't think their website's up to date.
Okay.
Yeah, they do meet. Monthly, and they might be meeting weekly. I haven't been in those calls the last few calls. I don't know if you have.
I think they're open though.
Yes.
Like open calls to hear from another body of or interest group, so to speak, related to legislation. So mm-hmm. you can search their website, they might have contacts or how to get involved in those.
I mean, anybody can listen in on those calls.
Mm-hmm. So.
I wonder if Jason's doing that.
I know we sent him invites, to.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anything else? We go to the order. Mm-hmm. It's you and me.